Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Okay, so, Joy, I explained to you, with the time difference that I can, watch all this late night stuff quite early here.
Right.
And since it was a Lollapalooza of late night with Letterman on Kimmel and then James Spader was on Late Night with Seth Meyers because Blacklist is ending.
I saw him.
And yeah. I don't know why we stopped watching that show,
because
we were obsessed.
And now it's too many seasons to go back in.
Oh,
you
know? I feel like you could. I might just watch this last season.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's so good. And isn't his character Red? Isn't that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. So he is just such a good guest on a couch. He comes prepared with a good story.
He does.
Yeah.
And so here's a story James Spader is sharing with Seth Meyers about, whenever the season wraps, you always get a gift. But this is like the end of the whole 10 years. And so he's talking about the gift.
The salary is for the work.
For the work.
The gift
and then the
is
gift
personal.
Yeah, because it's gratuitous.
This is James the person.
It's completely gratuitous. I don't need a gift, really. Yeah. It's a gesture. It's how much we like you. My agents, they always give me wine.
Yeah. You like wine?
I love wine.
Perfect.
So this came in an Hermes bag.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, they really like me.
Yeah.
This is an expensive store. And I took it out, and it was just a square of leather.
Uh-huh.
Which I've seen before, when we just did a renovation at our house, and I was sent the same thing as a sample to what we might want to cover the couch with.
Okay, yeah. So it was like a leather sample.
It was like a leather sample. It's Hermes. I thought maybe it's a sample for what's possible to make a saddle out of.
Yeah.
I really didn't have any idea what it was.
Gotcha.
So I called my friend Laura, who works upstairs, literally and figuratively. And so she came to my dressing room, and I said, because I was about to go downstairs.
Yeah.
There were going to be people there that
they had given it to you.
Not really.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said, what is this? And she said, oh, yes, I got the same thing. It's a mouse pad.
How funny is that? I wasn't expecting that at all.
No. I knew it.
A mouse pad. That made me laugh so hard.
I know. And just the way that he told it, his cadence of all of that.
The pauses.
What did Seth say? Something like, because he had a big, long story too, building up to this about a different gift and something. And Seth says, I love it when you're on. And I love it more that we're only going to get one story and never two. Something like that he's long-winded.
Yeah.
But he's...
But he gives a lot of good embellishment.
Yeah, isn't... Now, we believe he's married to someone from Minnesota.
Is he?
Remember we thought this for a while?
All right.
Could be true.
Could be true. I'm gonna believe you.
Okay.
I feel like you would retain that bit of information.
Thank you. And nothing more. Not a name. Definitely not a name or to finish the lines.
But that is something that I would. You're always remembering the Minnesota connection.
I do remember Minnesota. Well, but am I wrong?
You're
is
wrong.
It Wisconsin or North Dakota?
Apparently, Victoria Spader was born in Rochester, New York.
Not Rochester, Minnesota.
Not Rochester, Minnesota.
Well, for somehow born and where you grew up are
that
two
could
different
be different.
Things.
That could All be right. different. So, yeah, right. we'll leave it at that.
We will leave it at that.
Okay, so the View this morning yes. had Hugh Grant on.
I missed
and,
it.
Listen, I don't know if they decided not to ask him, although it's The View. If David Letterman can ask Jimmy Kimmel where the hell was Tom Cruise on Oscar night, the ladies on The View can ask Hugh Grant what the hell was where he's so crabby
right.
to our ABC red carpet gal, Ashley Graham. And
right.
they just ignored he was on two segments. You know, he's promoting Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, he's
and
in there.
I heard from our... Yeah, he's in it. And they didn't bring it up at all. And so now The View is getting slammed. Oh, Hugh Grant is getting all slammed again. And I thought, why wouldn't his team have just said, yes, please ask him so he can make fun of it, of old scrotum-faced
right.
himself.
Right.
Hugh Grant, and just say that he got, you know, whatever, that he was crabby, He didn't like that Ashley Graham didn't understand his Vanity Fair reference. If he
right.
wanted, he could have.
Well, they didn't
put the whole thing. And now The View, you know, the ladies kind of look like, you know, they give their views on a lot of things very, you know, directly. But here's this guy who just was on the ABC red carpet. And I mean, it just seems dumb not to bring it up.
All right, but what did they bring
I mean,
up? I agree with you, Lori. I get you there, but what did they bring up?
Well, here's one. Here we go.
You were a presenter at the Oscars on Sunday night, and it was great to see you reunite with Andy McDowell, your co-star from the 1994 mm-hmm. breakout film, Four Weddings and a Funeral, and you two seem to have had a good time. Can we take a look at the clip?
Lovely to be here.
It is lovely. We're actually here to do two things. The first is to raise awareness about the vital importance of using a good moisturizer. Andy has been wearing one every day for the last 29 years. I've never used one in my life. Still stunning. Basically a scrotum.
Right there, Thomas.
And he does always look like he needs moisturizer.
I was nervous. I wrote that joke, and I was extremely nervous about it.
It's funny as hell.
Good. Well, I think I got away with it.
You did.
Sigourney Weaver said to me afterwards, "You don't look like a scrotum." and she liked the joke, and I that relaxed me. But I was very nervous about it.
Yeah. Well, just in case.
Yeah.
You can never have too much moisture.
Thank you.
Yeah. He must have given himself.
It's our little gift to you.
So, would you mind if I moisturized during our interview?
Anytime.
Just don't kiss us, but you can moisturize.
Okay, thank you.
He's so...
So,
go ahead.
That's how they handle it. But they brought up the Oscars.
Yeah, I know.
And,
it
know,
seems
with,
wrong, Lori. I agree with you.
Yeah, it just seems like it just add, you know, it just makes for more stories. Whereas I would have been on the PR side of, hey, you know, let's make a joke of it. Because he admits it. He goes, I am a bit of an a-hole.
He does admit it. He does always admit it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, and he always does look like he does need some moisturizer, and that he wasn't good about using sunscreen.
Right. Grant, use your sunscreen.
That, I know.
Because you're fair
skinned. He's got that golf course face.
He's got a golf course face, yes.
And that's where I was without sunscreen all the time.
I know. It is.
Well, moisturize now, Grant.
I do.
You ever don't want to look like an old scrotum at 60.
Ever since I started hanging out with the two of you, I've started washing my face all the time and okay. using daily moisturizer. And I started to get into vitamins as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. You know, the sunscreen. We have a really weirdly high number of skin cancer people in Minnesota compared to, I mean, when you think about our state. So use your sunscreen.
Because people think of sunscreen as summer and they don't think of it as year round.
It's year round.
It is.
It's year round, people. Tell it. Preach it, Laura. Preach it. Okay, so.
And then Whoopi had farted yesterday on The View. I don't know if you know
she
about
did
that.
Again?
She farted.
Listen,
yeah, she's real
funny
gassy.
Things come out of bodies.
Hey, that's okay.
I burped so much the other day here.
Me and you both. We were
burping.
We were excusing each other.
I just had a carbonated one of these ice things, Lori, like that we love, that you probably don't get there because you're not going to Costco every day.
Oh my gosh.
I know, and I love them. I love it. Here's something I did hear. Is this is a random thought, and it may not be welcome.
Okay.
But did you have anything else to say, Laura? Because I just thought.
No.
Okay, so I don't know where was I? Who the hell knows? But anyway, the Costco vodka. No, Costco tequila is supposed to be rated extremely high if you're a tequila drinker.
Okay.
It's supposed to be very, very, very good. It's a private label of something. You know, they private label everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was just my
Their
little,
vodka is also good, too.
That just came out of nowhere, and it's going to go away to nowhere. I'm having tomorrow off, and so I'm already thinking about St. Patty's Day parties and stuff, Laura.
Paddies.
Patrick's Day parties. So that's where that came from, that random
Are you going to some parties? Or are you going back up to the scene of the crime?
I'm going to the scene of the crime, honey.
Oh, that's going to be so romantic.
It is, but it's going to be so cold.
It is.
It's going to be
cold. Oh, is it not tomorrow, too? Oh,
yeah.
Tomorrow, now it's down to 16 for a high.
Lori, it was 45 yesterday or 41.
Oh, shoot.
But that's why the pouring rain. But
we'll get we'll get the sun tomorrow because of the cold. Because usually when it's cold like that, you get the sun at least. But it's gonna.
It's gonna be cold.
Gonna be, I'll be out in the streets downtown too, and
have your bomber hats on.
Yes,
and
your sunscreen
and a flask.
There you go.
Hey everyone, Lori and Julia here for Learning RX. With 7 locations in the metro area and with so many success stories of helping people, helping specifically kids, become better at their job, which is going to school, learning to read. But what if there's something going on where they have auditory processing, but you don't know that? You just think they're not trying. Or maybe there has been a diagnosis of something with dyslexia or ADHD and you're hesitant about doing other treatments. Or maybe you've tried everything, tutoring, you've done everything. But if you haven't had your kid take the cognitive skills assessment test, nationally recognized test, to find out exactly what is going on in the brain, you are missing out. And if you mention Lori and Julia, you get it half off.
You're right, Lori. You're right.
It works.
It works. The number to call is 952-949-6900.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Grant.
What's up, Lori?
What do you got going for Julia and I and everyone else for this dirt today?
Yeah, let's start out right now with a little bit of information around the Little Mermaid trailer that found its way into the Oscars on Sunday night. We talked about this, how it was just kind of randomly placed, very awkward for most of the viewers while you were watching it, because it came out as like a mid-show promotion. Well, we found out that, according to the New York Post, Disney paid ABC, which is their parent company, $10 million to show this Little Mermaid teaser during the Oscars.
And to make it not look like an ad.
Yeah, exactly. To make
they
it look
like them come out like they're presenting something.
Yeah.
How awkward for Melissa McCarthy and Halle Berry.
Ugh. I know.
You know, they were presenters, just, not really.
Yeah. Well, what I find interesting is that Disney paid ABC, which is a part of that, like Disney. I know
you do that in companies. You do that in companies, Grant.
You just move money.
Because every little pocket has their own budgets,
yeah,
and they have to pay for advertising, and everyone has their own balance sheet.
Yeah, I've noticed that with our radio stations.
So, like,
here,
if we want to play something on, you know, Garage Logic, we'd have to, you know,
gotcha. Yep, that makes sense. So, a lot of money there, but you know. That's what they wanted to do.
$10 million.
That's their
right. Did it look good?
The only thing I don't like about this is that the only thing besides the in memoriam that they need to fix, but I wanted to see more old school stars. Why isn't Sharon Stone presenting? They had too many ABC Disney people as the presenters, and that made it feel like kind of like the Emmys, sort of.
Sure.
I don't know. I want some movie people.
Yeah.
So what if they don't have a new movie out or something? Ask Jane Fonda, ask Sally Field, ask Dolly, ask Cher, ask,
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC.
We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just more of these people.
Yeah, definitely things that they need to work on for sure. I agree. Yeah. Well, Freddie Prinze Jr., This is just...
Did you just say Freddie Prinze?
Freddie Prinze. I might have. It's Friday for us, but let's just...
We're saying Freddie Prinze. I love it.
Freddie Prinze Jr., who was in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yes.
A lot of movies, right?
Yes.
Well, he opened up...
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo. What was the... Not Last Kiss, but...
Yes, She's the Man.
No, She's All That.
She's All That.
Great
yes.
movie. But he's got a new podcast launching called That Was Pretty Scary. And he started out this podcast by talking about some of his own experiences on the set of I Know What You Did Last Summer. And according to him, he said that making the movie was a miserable experience because director Jim Glipsy, I believe is his name, who the actor said was such an a-hole to him on the set, and he alleged tension that was started by him because he would create all this tension because he never wanted Freddie Prinze to be on this movie. He actually wanted, what was the gentleman's
Ben
name?
Sisto.
Jeremy Sisto. Yeah, Jeremy
Sisto. Yeah, Jeremy Sisto.
Jeremy Sisto. So he believes that this was where the angst came from. Now, that was just part of it. He made, on set a living hell for him, in his words, but also... this director would give psychotic notes to Freddie, saying things like, don't leave your mouth open because you look stupid when you do that.
Very helpful.
Yeah, when you're trying
very
to direct.
Helpful.
And that's exactly.
Jeez.
And so, Freddie said that word for word, that's what it was. And, I had two options in my head. Am I going to fight this guy? What am I going to do? But he would always remember Ryan Phillippe coming to his side and saying, hey, man, screw that guy. How many times did you audition for this show? And he would say, five times. You earned this role. This is yours. So he's very grateful for having Ryan Phillippe at his side to kind of tell him to take it back. And he also said that he was, from this... And from having such a horrible director, it prepared him in the future in Hollywood to whenever he faced this situation on how to handle it.
Absolutely.
So, it was a horrible situation for him, but he also took some positives out of it, which, we hope that most people would do in that type of situation. So, that one. And there's also rumors, too, which surprises me, that they're going to bring back another version of this very movie. Now, I haven't heard much about it lately, but he was tied to to this movie coming back. So... I don't know with him bringing up this now if that's going to continue with, those negotiations, because this kind of opens up the door to some angst between the franchise and Freddie Prinze.
All right.
Keith Urban news here. We are a big fan of Keith's, and apparently we love, his relationship with the lovely Nicole Kidman, and he wanted to share that with some of his fans as he started his new Vegas residency. So this was really cool. While he was performing the 2010 single Without You, Keith put up footage on the oversized screen, giving fans a glimpse into their actual wedding.
That's cool.
Isn't that
because
cool?
Because he has, all these video boards behind performers. Now, you saw probably Bruce. We haven't talked about that, Lori. But, they can do such cool things. But that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're just, they made a joke that obviously, Nicole gave him a little, permission to use just a little bit of the film footage. But what an experience to kind of be there. And if you're a fan of him, you're obviously a fan of Nicole. And to get that view into that window would have been just exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a fun Vegas weekend to go see Keith Urban.
I just saw him here.
Yeah.
He's so good.
And
he's so great.
He just said that I believe he's going to be doing another whole
extension of this very residency from November 1st through the 18th. That came out, I believe.
He added some dates.
Yeah, he added some dates, I believe, yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
So November 1st through the 18th, he's got a few more shows that he has added to that residency. So obviously people are loving it. Moving over to Jeremy Renner. Now, we learned earlier this year, at the beginning of the year, we started out with Jeremy, you know, suffering more than 30 broken bones, a crushed sternum, while a 7-ton plow ran over him as he was trying to help his nephew.
I never knew it was 30 bones. They never were very specific
about
what happened to him.
This is now according to the Daily Mail. They're giving this information out that, and a source has spoken with the Daily Mail that's close to Jeremy Renner. But in addition to kind of giving out this information, you're right, I did not know the 30 bones. The source is saying that Jeremy has said that this accident is opening his eyes up and basically saying that he's going to be shifting his focus away from Hollywood now and putting
let me Hollywood speak this.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not going to be able to act
for
a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah. Cool.
He's going
to
do
with all of his
work.
Recovery. So it's just not possible, you know, for him to be. Mm-hmm. And luckily he had some stuff maybe shot in advance, but I can't imagine the amount of rehab he has in front of
him. No kidding.
You're right. And luckily he shot that docuseries Renovations prior to this.
You're right.
Because that's going to be coming out here in April, where he goes to different cities and helps them renovate vehicles that help out those towns get through certain situations. So good call. I bet you that is 100% the case.
I think so. I don't think he's decided on any of that, but I think he's got a long physical recovery.
You're right there. Based
30
on
30 bones?
That's 30. A lot.
Crushed. I mean, I guess it could be every toe, every finger.
Right.
But remember,
it went on his chest.
It went on his chest, legs. So it's his ribs.
He's in pain.
Oh, yeah, you can't. That's going to be a long, long rehab.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, guys.
Lori and Julia here for Hammer Nicks Interior Solution. They are a full-service flooring company that the Natus family has owned for 78 years, and they have absolutely everything that you would need. And maybe you're a shopper and you're like, I have no idea what I need for flooring. But just know this about Hammer Nicks, that you are getting competitive pricing. Their inventory is always marked at 12% off the already low price. And if you want the installation done for you, they can do that. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, they can help you with that. But two huge flooring superstores for you to be able to, you know, get the help and assistance and the good products you need.
Oh, Lori, they're so good at what they do. And again, you know, flooring fashions are changing, and it's always fun to go and look at all the new stuff. A lot of natural woods are coming back in, and go see it all in the west side of town or the east side of town, the Hammer Nicks.
Here's the theory, guys.
All right, talk louder. Tell us.
Okay, here's the theory.
All right.
And it's so funny that music, of course, is always played, because it probably this can go for people who love conspiracy shows, but they've done a study in at a place. Actually, there's a research lab called the Recreational Fear Lab, Julia.
Okay.
This is an actual place where they study.
The Recreational Fear Lab.
Fear Lab.
Okay.
It's based in Denmark. Okay. And they want to figure out, why do people that love true crime shows or books or whatever, what is it about that always draws them back? So watching true crime, fans feel better equipped should a real life situation arise. That's right. They feel like they would know what to do. They'd know how to get out of a situation, but they're also a little bit more suspicious of other people as a result of watching all their true crime shows.
Okay. So we went. Go ahead.
Well, according to the Recreational Fear Lab, they call it morbid curiosity, and that humans have had morbid curiosity about dangerous people probably going back 300,000 years, when humans began using language and engaging in proactive aggression against one another.
Well, you think about it. I mean, I always am just shocked that people can be so bad. I mean, those true crime things, like, how do they get away with it? How do they have the balls to do what they do? And how are they so bad? Those are the things that I always think about in it. Like, wow.
Well, they wanted to study, could it prepare us for real life situations? What they found out is that the average true crime fan watches 5 true crime programs every month. And I mean, I do think I know Grant and I joke, and Donnie, and we used to joke about it too, about if you're Law and Order, you know, you're like, you went to the School of Law and Order, yeah. You know, for some of your knowledge that you have. But true crime fans, like I have a niece who is, I would consider, a true crime aficionado. You know, she podcasts, she was on top of that Golden Gate Killer, Patton Oswalt's wife.
Yeah.
She followed her like 10 years before that book came out.
Oh,
and she
really?
Sold, you know
okay.
what I mean?
Yes.
So these were the people that they surveyed, and they also found that true crime content doesn't make people more violent, just like
sure, okay.
games.
It doesn't give you ideas.
No, it doesn't give you ideas, but then people feel like, okay, I know just a little bit about it. And it's kind of like, I remember watching so many zombie shows during the pandemic, and it made me feel better about everything going on and the uncertainty with COVID, and then with what was I was like, well, at least that's not happening.
Right. You're right, Lori. At least we don't have to worry about that right now. Oh, my word.
So they feel better equipped for real life situations. And the theory is, and yes, in this survey that they did at the Recreational Fear Lab, true crime fans are a little bit more suspicious of other people.
All right.
That makes sense.
Do you guys
It makes
feel,
sense, right?
I would say, Lori, that I'm a little more impressionable than you.
Yes.
With people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watch, I would say, I think across the board, because Lori will say, I knew that. I just knew it, and you liked them or something. Because I'm a little bit more willing to just...
It's okay. We can say it. We're both gullible.
I don't know that mm-hmm. it's even gullible, Grant. I think it's more like willing to...
Trust. I'm that way, too.
Yeah. I don't feel gullible because I don't get screwed on it at all, but I feel like I'm willing to extend trust quicker than Lori is.
I am, too.
Yes.
Well, here's an example. When Casey's daughter had decided that she was going to move to Chicago, to DePaul, as a result of my true crime reading, of knowing about, you know, serial killer, you know, I am put myself in this thing. I remember distinctly telling her several times, you are never to walk in the city of Chicago anywhere looking down at your phone because you're the most kidnappable sized person in America.
He's
you're 5 feet tall with a long ponytail.
Yeah.
Pick you up and put you right in a trunk of a car, Grant.
That's a
You've got to be. And I said, you can't wear your high heels. You're going to have to get used to carrying a bag with, you know, you need to have shoes you can run in. If you're going to be a city kid, taking the subway, taking the bus, walking.
Good call on you. That's a lot of life lessons that don't get brought up, especially to someone going into a big new city like that. Like I said, when I moved to San Diego, they knew a bunch of us Midwest kids were going to be going down to TJ all day long. And they were like, let's educate you. You're going to go down there, but let's educate you.
Right.
You know, so I appreciate that about you. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is the way, though, that true crime people will think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of where, like you're saying, we keep coming back because not because we want to learn bad behavior, but it's we're taking those tips and we're applying them to everyday real life situations, keeping our eyes open a little bit more. Like you said, don't walk with your head and your phone down because you're a quick target. You know, if you're walking out to your car, keep your head up, keep your keys in your hand away. You know,
always. I do all that.
But Julia, didn't we? I mean, what are we going to do with our fobs?
Well, this is the problem. We liked having a key because it was like, you know, a thing.
I guess your house key? I don't know. But here, Julia, I feel like you and I had from like some true crime novelist on our show who like had all these statistics. It was a book way long ago, but that's when we learned like the most kidnappable or the person that gets abducted, you know, 5 feet tall.
Right.
Boys or girls, you know, just that size. You fit right in a trunk.
Yeah.
It's taking a morbid turn, my theory.
A little bit.
That's okay. We've done our duty today. Now let's move to dessert.
Okay.
let's move to dessert.
Okay.
Everybody's
crime with a side of pie.
That's right. they wanted to look at, the theory was, is someone, does someone like sweets more than another? An introvert versus an extrovert. What do you think?
Yes. I'd say probably an extrovert.
Oh, I would say an introvert.
Okay, who's right? I'm an extrovert.
You're both basically right. It makes no difference if you're an introvert or an extrovert as far as you loving desserts. Where it differs is between optimistic and pessimistic people.
Let's hear this.
All right, tell us.
Optimistic people overwhelmingly prefer sweet over sour treats, like almost 80%, compared to 50% of pessimists. They go for the sour.
Well, that's kind of funny, Lori. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of funny? Yeah, I mean, it's such a big difference.
Yeah, that's so funny. A big difference.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, when I got to the end of this, what I thought was a scientific journal, it was basically
Baskin
a poll Robbins. Taken on behalf of nothing but bundt cakes.
Oh, Lori, that, okay.
Sometimes the journals are disguised, Julia.
Lori, that one makes me laugh because who doesn't love a little mini nothing but bundt?
Oh, didn't your neighbors bring Casey over a bunch of those little bundt cupcakes?
Had them delivered the little bundt cupcakes. He was so delighted, but he made me bring some to work, and they really are just a delicious dessert. But that's what they found out, nothing but bundt cakes. But no difference between an introvert and extrovert. That's not surprising, but optimists will go for the sweet, and pessimists will go for the sour dessert.
Most
people like to share a dessert.
Yeah. The only
we
thing
talked about share. That yesterday. Sharing food, dessert is the acceptable share.
That's the only share. Yes,
the only share. That's only right, share. Grant and Casey. Many other guys are the same way. You order what you want.
Yes,
I know. I've kind of like.
Okay, we have to put an end to. Oh, well,
to what?
I'm not going to tell this one because we're out of time.
All right, fine. We're going to take
I
a
can
break.
Tell
then.
That you're heartbroken, Julia.
No, you can tell us when we come back. We've got plenty of time. Nothing but time, really Lori, but we do have to
I'm
go
keeping free. Track of the time for you all.
That's Thank right. You. We got to go to break.
Hey, everybody. Lori and Julia here for David and the team at First Equity Mortgage. They are there to be your number one go-to person if you are buying a new home, if you are trying to look and see. I wonder if I'm ever going to get out from underwater from this credit card debt. I wonder if it makes sense to refinance and use that money for my house that I have in equity to pay off the credit card debt. Because sometimes when you are in underwater, you're thinking, how am I going to figure that out? And for a lot of people, they just get overwhelmed and they just don't think about it and keep paying a minimum. But what if you could be smart with equity in your home? David and his team, if it doesn't make sense, they'll tell you. They'll say, stay right where you are. But if they can, they will be able to help you. 763-251-8000. My talk keyword, David.
This music is just so happy, Loreen.
It's so pretty.
One of the best parts of having you be in Hawaii.
I hope I have a sunset tonight, Julia.
I hope you do, too.
Your weather's been clouding up.
Yeah. Is there a little something over the island that just kind of keeps circling around and around?
No, it is in Hawaii. The clouds are moving right along.
Yeah.
I know.
Is it like California where until 10 or 11 or so, it's a little cloudy and then it gets sunny? There's not that morning. No. Okay. It's
but just, stuff happens
no
fast.
Fog. No marine.
But stuff happens fast.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, there. Okay. So we had a big appetizer off here, Lori, today.
Oh, I'm so glad I missed that.
Actually, Christy Gavin won the big prize. She took home the gold.
What did she make?
She made these, I want to make it. It sounds so good. These hamburger sliders.
Oh, the onions.
Did you taste it, Grant?
Yeah, I did.
Because I didn't have one. Was it so good? Because I want to make it this weekend.
It was really good. The caramel, the onions, she used the right amount of onions. It's a little hamburger, a little onion, like caramelized onions.
Yes, right.
It's got a very white.
And little baby buns?
Yes.
Yeah, little baby buns. Like Hawaiian,
the sugar buns.
Very, those very are so good. Very
it
good.
Sounds so good. This kind of looks yummy. So that it, was it, what. go ahead.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, Lori, any cooking for you?
Well, you know what? You know what I think where I got scarred from an appetizer experience? Well, Julia, we have to go all the way back to my first marriage.
Okay.
And I wasn't yet married, but we were having an engagement party.
Okay.
And I decided that I would make crab stuffed snow pea pods.
Very delicate.
Like I had to make
a lot of
200.
Handling. Oh, for crying out
loud. 200.
That's a lot.
That's a terrible idea. Not going to lie.
It has. I don't think I've made a homemade appetizer since.
I wouldn't. Oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Sounds terrible. I mean, it sounds delicious, but that's very that's a lot of detail.
It's a lot of stuffing, because I remember once we had a party and I had to stuff little cherry tomatoes. Oh. What a pain in the butt. I mean, you got to go for things in a dish. You blend a crap together and it's good to go. These aren't hard, Lori. You just make hamburger, use Lipton onion soup, put some onion in it, put a pickle in it. It's pretty easy. And Grant, you tasted it because I want to make them and I just didn't taste it. And I want to make sure they're good.
They're really good.
So everyone here is gearing up for the big day tomorrow and the rest of the weekend for St. Patrick's Day. Do you think there'll be a little celebration there, Laura?
No, I don't think the people on the island call in sick the way people do
in
Minnesota. For St. Patrick's Day when it falls on a Friday.
Oh, can
How lucky
you stand
is that?
It?
So there's probably going to be some festivities in Kona Town, where the more of the nightlife and stuff is. But no, the Hawaiians are really not celebrating St. Patrick's Day with the fervor of the mainland.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There we go.
I didn't even bring a St. Patrick's necklace or anything. I just am going to keep wearing my puka shells and my kukui nut necklace.
Whatever the heck that is. We like it. We like it. We like
it. You remember the kukui nut, Julia? They're like, they look like...
they have brown in them.
Yeah, they're dark brown. They almost look like a string of milk duds around your neck.
But the good ones
you get from like Regina's chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I have to tell you something. So Jeff and I were having a sugar attack. I don't know what night it was. But we go and we both load up our carts with our own treats. And I had Junior Mints, Milk Dubs. You know, I'm off of Twizzlers.
We know that.
Changed the formula.
They changed the formula and I refuse to go back until someone, we all should put our feet down, and some other just junk food. So for me, you know, everything goes in the freezer because everything's better frozen. Cookies, Milk Duds, Junior Mints, ice cream. And so...
I don't know how you don't break your teeth.
Well,
good point.
I just don't. And I have been looking for those damn Milk Duds. And I have a side-by-side. It's not like there's a ton of space, but our freezer, now with the two of us, it's freezer do or die. So you open the door and you have to clear your feet because you don't know what's going to fall.
Me too. Yep.
Fall out on you. And there's, you know, like room for the giant side ice pack, which we really need a lot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and I'm just like, where the heck are the Milk Duds? And I asked Jeff, and he goes, I look too. I can't find them. It really, where the hell are the Milk Duds?
He ate them.
No, he didn't. He wouldn't do that.
Oh, I don't know.
I do that. He doesn't. He's still
good. Admit
he
there.
Still is crazy for me.
I do that.
But yeah, he wouldn't eat him. I eat his stuff though. I'm so naughty.
We expect that. That's why we buy more.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I go buy treats for myself, I buy extra because I love you, Lil. But I know you're gonna sneak some.
Jeez, and I'm
so
sneaky.
I just, you know what? I just assume, so I pre-plan.
There you go.
That's all right.
All right. There you go. So tomorrow you're going to have some fun, Lori, with Brittany and Rocco.
Rocco, yeah. It's going to be quite the trio.
Yeah, I didn't know I was doing the show with Rocco. I've been driving Mike Ganger crazy since yesterday.
I know, that's what Gran heard, and I'm like, well, maybe we should tell her who she's working with tomorrow.
It usually would be Mike coming in with those things, yes, but I figured since Rocco's already doing New Music Friday, everybody, we got to get a little DJ Rock Lobster on the air.
And so Lori, you can ask him questions about Bozeman because he's just coming back from his trip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet it's going to be very dead in the office tomorrow with St. Patrick's Day landing on a Friday.
Yeah. But people have been staying late here this week. We've actually had a crew after 5.
Yeah.
So, which is different.
Well, that's because they're getting ready to call in sick tomorrow.
No one's going to call in sick, honestly.
Oh, please do.
Oh, please do.
Or Monday, you know.
So March Madness kicked off today, so that's what everybody is doing.
Now another upset, too. I guess Arizona, number 2 seed, lost a little bit ago. So I think a 3
Rackets
seed.
Busted.
Yeah, a 3 seed and a 2 seed have lost already today, and it's only the first half of the day. Oh, man, it is. You're right. Brackets are busting.
Brackets are busting. Everyone have a great night. Lori, hello. Mahalo.
Aloha.
Aloha to you. Say hi to my bro. Grant, thanks for everything. Everybody, have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.